We welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill, California. Perhaps you are listening to our broadcast in the evening. And here we have the people coming in for the evening service for the closing of the day. We have been busy the entire day, as I announced it in the morning. Then I forgot Wednesday night. We have the personal studies on the Psalms and then our collective prayer. Meantime, we're going to start our evening service praising God with number 255, Blessed Assurance. Always our evening service will start with this song until the new pastor comes and start with his song, all right? 255. Closing the day here at Bethel Baptist Church, and we are here at the evening service ready to look upon the scripture and ready to sing praises to you. We love this half hour of praise because come from our heart, we love you. And here is our church saying good things about you, our mighty God. And then, Lord, I want to thank you for the understanding you give me to this difficult passage of Revelation 20, and as we're going to handle 10 verses tonight, Lord, help us to be aware of the splendor and the glory of your plan upon this earth. Now, Father, again, we are grateful that we pray for people. We pray this morning from Brother Donald, and he's much, much better. Thank you, Lord, that you have relieved his pain. Thank you, Father. We pray that this may continue until tomorrow. He got the his own doctor, and he has his own hospital, and things will be better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can put shoulders one with another, even though far away. Thank you for telephones. Thank you for internet. Thank you for all these mechanisms that you allow man to discover so that we can use it to your glory. Thank you for those who are far away listening to us in their homes and in different places in California and different places in around the world. Lord, how blessed I am when I receive emails from those listening on Wednesday night or evening service, knowing that they are there. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, give us an excited night. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Just as I pray, I want to report on Brother Donald. I talked with the family, and the medicine for pain has been changed to another medicine, which will help him to relieve the pain. Remember, he has a difficulty. One of his kidneys was transplanted, and so when you have that, you cannot have pain medicine, which is inflammatory. Anything that happens in your knees and so on is first inflammatory, and you take some medicine which works on your kidneys and on your liver. Very bad, but you have a healthy liver that can take it. But if you have a transplant, nothing of that medicine can be done. And if you had diabetes, nothing of that medicine can be done. So he was left to pain But thank God to a smart doctor in the emergency who for 2 hours deal with him and give another medicine, and he's relieved. I think he has out of the blue a big pain in his knee. He's a very big. They called me in the morning, and I said, well, we pray. Thank God there is relief. And tomorrow his regular doctor and his regular hospital will take place. All right. We thank God for the victory in prayer, don't we? And let's have some songs. Okay, good to see you, David. How you walk here? Oh, okay. We take you home that day. We take you home. That's how nice to have a member that can walk here from his church. You take Juan Hernandez Drive to the right. When you end up the empty area, the next house on the corner is my good friend David. All right. It's so good. We never have a member so close, eh? All right. All right, Señor Greg, Father. Yeah, forgot your name. I look on it and say, and I look on it and say, who's that fellow? I'm getting older, you know. I see less in the night. Okay, 496 for this. $283, we will see. That's what you like. $283. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's what you like? Okay. $283.
Thank you.
7 seconds. Señorita? 204. All right. Señorita Shelly, 204. All right. How was the service at 2 o'clock? It was okay? Greg did it okay? Okay, we passed, he's all right. And how many were there, you know, so that we reported? 30 people. All right, so we reported later. I saw a lot of hands over here on the left of the cathedral. Ray, way in the back. Brother Romulo, tell me. 36. 36, yes, 36. That talks about Luther here and how he... do you know the name of the castle where he stamped the theses? The church was shaking. One little man, he was a German. So, you know, a German works for 20. This German wrote it so good that the whole Roman Empire was shaking. The castle of Wittenberg, all right. Mighty fortress is our God. Then after that, he wrote this beautiful hymn after he nailed and he received the bullet. You know what a bullet is? It's a note from the Pope that you're going to be killed. And so he run and hide himself. He married the nun that he was in the castle. They run away, and that woman served him so beautifully. And he translated two big works. He did a lot of hymns and translated the German Bible, the one they use today, the Luther Bible. A mighty fortress is our God.
Thank you.
And that Revelation 20 and the first 10 verses, that the battle is already won and it's going to be final for him. And he knew it, by the way. Remember in James when Satan said to Jesus, the demon said to Jesus, don't come now because this is not our hour. Refer to Revelation 20. This is not our hour. Jesus, you cannot send us to hell yet. So Satan is the only one who knows his final destination, the unbelievers. They dream on, but Satan is the only one who knows that he's going to be punished eternally. All right? Another word. Señor Antonito, when do you leave this week?
Tuesday.
Antonito leaves Tuesday for a very cold place in, state of Maine, is that right? State of Maine, but it's warm over there, no? He's going to learn to cook lingüiza over there. It will take about 3 months to learn. He's going to have with his uncles. Going to be. That's good. You know, I spent my vacation with my aunt, you know, and that's how I became associated with soccer. And my uncle was a fanatic. He was a guy who did a lot of money to the stadium. So he has access to all these big guys. So when I grow up, he can recommend me and look to me, you know, and so on. So enjoy the time. You told me there is a church. Send me the name of the church and so on so I can make aware of the rascal who is there, all right? Okay. No, but it's good. It's good you told me that. What's the number?
299.
All right. Boy, it looks like yesterday when he was born, 299. And cost more money now than before, you know. Cost a lot more than when he was born. Okay, 299 day by day. Morning, preaching to you, we get a lot of emails back into the church. I only get one who said, we know now that you do not believe the church saved. What a news. I hope that they got the idea already. But some people, they are so confused, and we need to pray for them and have compassion, that they lock themselves into the church as an institution for salvation rather than a place of expansion of the gospel. And I don't know, it takes all the strength of God to move them from that point to another. But they keep listening, and that's the good part. All right, another song. Tricia. What number? No, go ahead. 44, then we get my wife. All right. So I don't sleep in the sofa tonight. All right, 44. All right. You know what that means. Montero? 206. The amazing grace of God. Yes, indeed. Anything we know, anything we do right is because of the amazing grace of God. There is no credit in ourselves except in the marvels of God's love upon our life. Wonderful grace of Jesus. 206. Of Mrs. Moore. We used to have a member of our church. Thank you, Raquel. Mrs. Moore, when we sing this hymn, I was worried about this beam that will fall down. I tell you, that's marvelous to pray. Thank you, Shelley. And I'm sure when you finish your 4 years of school, and you will be our wonderful musician here in church. Don't go anyplace else. I got some boys for you. All right, am I? All right, let's pray together. Father, we come to a passage of the scripture that sometimes puzzles our mind and the mind of great theologians and great people of God. We pray that as we go over verse by verse and look into what you said about Satan, you will enable us to understand your work. Revelation 20 is nothing more than an information to us of your mighty work. Oh God, open our eyes of our spirit, that we may understand it, and that we may have the peace of God for the future days ahead on this world. In Jesus we pray, amen. You are tonight on Revelation 20. Now, if you don't have an outline with you, there is an outline right there on the back and on one of the chairs. You pick up one for each one of you. I pass it as much as I can. But this is page 33 on the outline, so that we've been doing. Each time we preach in the evening, we provide a way we are. And when the book is complete, I'm going to wrap up all the outlines, and you will have a nice outline to look upon the book of Revelation. Now, this is point 12 in the outline, which indicate that what is it? What is in chapter 20? A lot of people see a lot of things, and you can take a verse here and a verse there and really mark a topic on this, but as you read the chapter over and over the 15 verses, over and over and over, you will learn that the chapter is nothing more and nothing less than the judgment of Satan detailed. Now, God is going to see, show you in John 16 and in many other passages in 1 John, God has given us information that even though these guys, Satan, is doing things on this earth and is doing things on a limited form by God, like we studied this morning, he cannot tempt you more of what you are, because God has designed that kind of protection on you. And so Satan is coming to an end. Satan is coming to an end. So this will help me as a human being and as a Christian to know that when I read the newspapers, when I see the television, and when I see the amazing erroneous way of living, like the United States Senate do not want the president to carry on a reform on our Constitution to say the marriage is between a man and a woman, when Senator Kennedy is against that, even though he himself will not do that, but he politically, you have to watch yourself politically, even for the party, then you know the world has gone a long way away from God. And when the churches have changed the message of the gospel, I have a call this week. I shared that with Pastor Thompson. I'm there, and the lady called and said, who is this? I said, well, this is Pastor Otero. He said, the senior pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. He says, I know. I pass by every day around here. So what Bible do you use? I said, I use the King James Bible because I was trained in seminary with that Bible, and it's no hard for me. He said, well, good. He said, and then you preach Jesus Savior? What else I should preach? Well, you should go around, she said, and visit other churches. And we don't have that family visiting today. But I give the information, please, before you come, I'm going to be shaken for you. It's different. We are very, very, very conservative. So I said, why don't you listen in the internet? And I give the internet format, and you can see sermons over there and so on. When we come too far, there's somebody called the church and said, to a church, and said, you preach Jesus? When we come so far, you know that something is going on in the world. So let's today... because I preach in sections of 29 minutes and 30 seconds. You notice that? That's my preaching style. I did that in radio for 29 years, so that's my preaching style. I never can accumulate too many thoughts on it. I have only one thought, and we build up on that thought, and I stay with you. So next Sunday will be the end of this chapter. But let's start the chapter. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. God give us the detail of Satan's imprisonment. He's going to be in jail. Now, to whom this work of binding Satan and put him in jail is committed, all right? Look at here. Verse 1, the Bible tells us, and I saw an angel came down from heaven. So this business of getting Satan bound for a certain amount of time is done by an angel from heaven. Now, to an angel is giving absolute power to do this. So let's look again. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. This angel has come from heaven, and this angel has the power of life and death. So let's look who is it, all right? Put one hand in Revelation. And go with me, who lives in heaven now? And here the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, in three passages in the scripture detail these. But the easy way to remember is Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even, where? At the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. See, Christ is at the right hand of God. An angel in heaven, a messenger from heaven, has to be Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. If you want another reference, you can go with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. As you open the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, you have another reference what Christ really is. Hebrews chapter 1, and reading verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, the last days are the days from the cross until the end of the world, is spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, that means the cross, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so the only person that could come from heaven with that kind of authority is Jesus himself. Also, they have the keys of heaven and earth, as you saw in Revelation 20, and in verse 1, said, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So he has the keys of life. If we are in Revelation 20, just go back to Revelation 1, verse 18, and see who has that kind of authority of life and death. Revelation 1 and verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And so the bottomless pit is the place where there is no, there is an end of life. And so it's a similar expression to hell. And finally, and so he has the key. So his imprisonment of Satan is explained then to whom his word was assigned to Satan. Was not assigned to any preacher, was not assigned to any church, was not assigned to anybody who can perform miracles and wonders, was assigned exclusively and only to the Lord Jesus. Now we go to verse 2. To what extent was the execution of his word? How he's going to do it. Look at verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil. Look at all the names that the Bible gives for Satan. You see it in verse 2, the dragon, the serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So let's see the detail. All right. He laid hold of the dragon, verse 2. That angel take hold of him. All right. And then he cast them into the bottomless pit, according to these. He caught all the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him. See, he locked on him, all right? And who can do this? Who can take care of these in this way? Who can, according to verse 3 at the beginning, he's cast into the bottomless pit. Who can do that? Can anybody? Well, you are in Revelation. The previous book to Revelation is Jude. So if you go to the book of Jude, you find that Satan wants to even penetrate heaven and take the body of Moses out of heaven. And you read in verse 9 in the book of Jude, one book prior to the book of Revelation, yet Michael, the archangel, and I remember when we did the studies of angels, that there are degrees of angels in heaven, like an army has the degrees of officers and so on. The Bible mentioned 7 categories of angelic army. And Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said what? The Lord, kurios. That word is reserved only for Jesus. The Lord rebuke thee. And so the only one that is a match for Satan is not you or I, is Jesus. No man is a match for Satan, Jesus. And so in verse 2, he cast him down on the bottomless pit. And Christ is the only one who can do that. And the Bible said he locked him for a determined time of 1,000 years. Said the Bible, he's locked into that place. He cannot do absolutely nothing. Now, to what extent is Satan imprisonment? What is involved in this is described in verse 3. Verse 3 tells me that Christ shut him up and cast him, I'm reading Revelation 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, period. So Satan now is absolutely, the description is, Satan is totally limited. Now, on the top of that, the Bible gave us the information that Christ set a seal on him. Look at here in verse 3, and set a seal upon him. So that's a guarantee that Satan is under God's control. And then also, Christ determined the term of his confinement in verse 3, that he should, what that means, this confinement? What is the purpose of Satan to be there? That he should deceive, circle that word if it's in your Bible, deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose for a season. What is the determined that confinement? Satan was the archer deceiver, said the Bible. In the Old Testament, he deceived the entire nation of Israel so much that you remember when God was fed up and said, all right, anybody below 20 will live, everybody above 20 will die. How come, I thought to myself, a nation, they saw themselves, the waters of the Red Sea move out. They walk on the dry land. The waters went back and finished with the enemy. How come a nation like that do not believe? Put one hand on Revelation and go with me to the book of Hebrews and see if I find the reference. Not there in the outline, but came to my mind. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18 and verse 19. It's not in the outline, but it came to my mind. What happened with Israel? All these people, about 20 years old, they saw the miracles, and the Bible said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that, what? Believe not. I was surprised this morning. Somebody said, you are asking people to believe. Who, you better believe it. He said, well, you know, they give me a book. Said, that's very wrong. Now, I was shocked. I don't say anything. When I finish the sermon, I'm so happy. I know I can do better. And if I do it again, I can do much better. But I will never change that word, believe. Can you imagine if I change the word believe, I'm giving you a lecture about God without telling you what really God wants from you. And so here it is. He said, but they that believe not. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, we go to hell because of unbelief. Now, I want to show you one thing. I agree with those called the hyper-Calvinism view. I don't know if those is theology, you know that or not. The hyper-Calvinism view means nobody can believe. I agree to that. In your natural state, nobody can believe. How then people believe? Very easy. Put one hand in Revelation, go with me to the Gospel of John. Here is the answer why I ask people to believe. One of the proof, here is seated Brother David. I asked people to believe in Brother David to the unexpectation of Chris, who witnessed to him about the Lord. He believed, remember, two or three Sundays ago. Now look with me in John Gospel, chapter 16, and in verse 7. Jesus is telling the disciples, preparing them, that I should go away. You know, when daddy and mommy goes away, takes a lot, talks to the children. Now he had to do this, he had to do the other. And this is what Jesus did. Look at what he says. Verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You know that John 14:26 said, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Okay, now look at verse 8. And when he is come, when that Comforter, the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now look at verse 9. Of sin because they what? They believe not of me. So imagine if I preach a sermon and I never said, well, you don't have to believe. That will be of Satan, don't you think? That will be of Satan. And so here it is, the extent of their confinement is that he cannot deceive the nations no more. And so Israel was deceived left and right. Prophet Isaiah spent all his time preaching, and no one will come to the Lord. I even read in the newspaper here and more in Gilroy, what's the name of Dispatch? I read Dispatch, an article written by Dr. McCormick on Isaiah, and how tough was in the Old Testament to come to believe, because Satan was absolutely loose in control of the entire world. Ephesians 2, verse 1, 2, and 3 describe that as the prince of the air. He was manipulating all kinds of people. Nevertheless, God was strong to save those who he wants them to believe. So if somebody tells you, you don't have to believe, that's Satan. You have to believe. You have to believe. If somebody tells you, you cannot believe by yourself, or you cannot believe this, you know, somebody when I was an unbeliever will come to me and say, well, you cannot believe by yourself. You need this power. You need the other. I care less. I don't know. How I know if I don't have the Spirit of God? What you tell an unbeliever is this. Now listen, there is two roads. One goes to heaven and another goes to hell. Which one are you? Let them think on it. If you disobey God all of your life, if you don't care about God, then you're in this road. There is a bridge between this road and the other. The bridge is named Jesus. And that's the way to do it. But Satan manipulates people in a mighty way. All right, his imprisonment. God is going to control Satan in a period of time where he is limited in his work of deceiving people. God is going to intervene through the Holy Spirit, as we read it in John 16, and make people to believe and cause people to believe. Because I don't know who they are. And so I'm preaching the word of God. And in one sense, I'm like Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. I cannot call names, but I can say, come, believe. If I was Jesus, I would say, Anthony, believe. So believe and be done. But I'm not Jesus. So I say, come and believe. And the Holy Spirit will come and tell me who's going to believe. Is that clear? That's the time, the enjoyable time of preaching. We have the victory. We change the message, no victory. We keep the message, we have the victory. Now, let's talk about his limitation. You know, we talk about his limited, and God explained about that, verses 4 to 6. Saints throughout the centuries are exalted. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which have no worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, that were 1,000 years intervened. So now let's talk about this information. The saints throughout the centuries are exalted. They were dead, but now are restored. You see verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which have no worship the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon the forehead. He saw the people. When you say you saw the soul, you saw the person. The soul is the personhood, your personhood. We are born with an evil personhood and sin, and when we come saved, God removes that personhood. Let me show it to you. It is right here in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. When you become saved, God changed your personhood. Your body is the same. Oh, I wish he takes some pounds from me. But your body is the same. It has nothing to do with your body, but it has to do with your soul, your person. Look at here. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead? They were alive. Those Ephesians were alive. What are you talking dead? Spiritually dead. And my soul, in my personhood, as I said this morning, you can have a nice personhood, you can be a nice person, but you are dead concerning the things of God. I talk to you about God and you shut it off. I can see it when I go to the coffee shop. As soon as I come in, the pastor, they take away papers and things, all the dirty things those old men are reading and so on. They take away, they put it away, and I come in. Hey, hi, everybody. Hi, Anthony. I have one and so on. And they tell me, they say, you know, Anthony's not reading the Bible. He speaks less evil words now, they said. So everybody confessed to me. They are used to, you know, they are Catholics. They are used to confess to the priest. And I come and I collect all the information. And as soon as I'm talking about the evilness of man, they change the conversation. They don't want to hear anything. They want to talk about cars. They want to talk about farming. They want to talk about this. But they will not talk about the evilness of man and the breach of God has made. Oh, we went to church. Well, I'm here for a long time. I went to that church when that church was not there. In other words, their security is a formality. See? And why? I have great compassion. I love a haggage of them. I come in, also, these old people like me. I'm 70, you know. They are 80, 85, and 80, 89. And so I shake their hands and I hug them and so on. And we drink the coffee is on. And then before I leave, I shake everybody and I love them so they know. But Leo told me, Leo was the one who came to know the Lord. I see he overheard from another table. One time I said, well, this is very important coffee shop. All the Mexicans had to sit over there. We don't allow them to sit here. Boy, that Leo looked like that, you know. And so very soon he hears, everybody pay attention when I'm talking. I'm talking about God. So Leo said, my grandmother told me about God. So Leo, here's a Bible. And Leo came and said, oh, I go to church then. And he was brought back into life because grandma, 50 years ago, I read the scripture in his car and took me to mention a scripture after a scripture. His life was like that. Now, let's go into this, his limitations. They were dead and now are restored. Those people in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, they saw the soul, they saw the person, they were dead. And some of the people will kill the Christian thinking that they are killing the Christian. Actually, they are promoting the Christian into the very presence of God. They possess authority over evil. Look at this. The verse 4 said, the beast neither has image, and which have no worship, the beast, his image. In other words, these people were very active. Neither have received his mark upon the forehead. In other words, I am not marked by Satan. Remember what happened to me at salvation? Let me show it to you in case you don't remember. Ephesians chapter 3. Again, this is not in the outline, but Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me. A lot of things come into my mind as I'm talking to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. Before we were sealed with that mark of Satan in our heart, that Romans 5:12 said that we were born with a disease called no alcoholism, no drug addict, a disease called sin. That's how we were born. And then now, when we are saved, we are sealed with this. Now, notice again, I say in this, and I told my friend the Pentecostals, now look carefully to this verse, explain you how you receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, in whom ye also trust, after ye heard the word of truth. So you trust after you hear the word of truth. After is an adverb of time. Pay attention to that. And then the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believe, after you believe, now there is no after now, you were sealed. See, the Bible doesn't say after you believe, then after you were sealed. No, the Bible says after you believe, instantaneously you were sealed. You don't have a second experience in your life where you ask for the Holy Spirit to come down. And so these people were that kind of people. And so they possess authority over evil. They have refused the mark and so on. And we possess authority over evil now. Look at in the book of James, here in chapter 4 and in verse 7 of the book of James. People say, well, you know, Christ is very powerful. No, not so powerful. You're a believer. He had no control on you. Look at here, chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. James 4:7. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and God take care of him. And he will be running like crazy away from you. But you have to submit yourself to God. What does God say in his word? And then when the devil provides you a way, you say, no, that's not the way. This is the way. And then you don't have to battle the devil. You know, the Bible is telling this, you don't have to battle the devil. You have to know God. And when you know God, you know when the devil comes around you. I keep saying this example. You hear it from me. We were in 1976, 200 years of America. We went to the East Coast with Miriam to learn history as we visit for a long time the capital of the United States. We went to where the money is printed. And I asked a few questions so Miriam, you know, can really pay attention to it. And one of the questions is, sir, you're showing all these millions of dollars and billions of dollars being printed. How do you know? And then you have the people testing and so on over there in the table. And they were all with glasses. I said, how do you know, guys, what is good and what is bad? You are trained and seeing the counterfeit? No, sir. We are only trained to taste and touch the good ones. And when a counterfeit can mean, I can touch and I tell you. I don't have to look on it. And that's the training of the church. We're not training you to tell you what Satan does. We're training you what God does. So when Satan comes in your way, that rings a bell to you. All right? And his limitation, the Christian possess authority, and they are in Christ forever. If you go back to Revelation 4 and verse 6, neither have received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hand, and they live and reign with Christ forever, 1,000 years, forever. All the period that Christ's kingdom on this earth controls, you're never going to be out of Christ. You reign with Christ forever. You never have to worry that you're going to lose the kingdom. Once you are in the kingdom placed by God, then God is not taking you out of the kingdom. You know, those people who lose, they believe losing your salvation. I said, depend who save you. If you save yourself, yeah, you can lose it. But if God save you, he's not going to repent. Oh, why I say Gabriel and take me out. You are with him in that period of time. Now, saints only will experience the resurrection of the soul. Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. In other words, what he's telling in verse 4 is the first resurrection. You will experience the first resurrection. The rest is going to be different. Let me show you how it's explained by John in a marvelous way in John chapter 5. And in verse 25. In other words, this verse 4 describes the people in this era, they are being saved. John 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, where the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, when is that? Right now. Who are the dead? The unbelievers. When the unbelievers hear the voice of God, they come and they believe. And John very cleverly put that word, and now is. See, in verse 25, and now is. Now, verse 26 said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so has given life to the Son that hath life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. Marvel not at this. Don't be surprised. For the hour is coming. That's future. In the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That means if you die in Christ Jesus, the hour is coming when you will hear his voice. But for us, we already experienced this remarkable first resurrection. The first resurrection is a spiritual resurrection of the soul that have come into the life of Christ. So saints are bestowed with honor. Look at verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Their soul hath been raised from the dead. Blessed and holy. That's the mark of people who have been resurrected. If you say, I'm a Christian, but you live like a devil, then I doubt about your salvation. I will never tell anybody you are unsaved. But if you said, you know, I'm a Christian, but I cannot overcome this, then I doubt that you are a Christian. Because Christians are overcomers. See? And here's what it is. Blessed and holy. Now, good could say, blessed are those. No, blessed and holy. Blessed and separated unto me are those. Now, they now are priests in Christ, according to verse 6. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. If you go to 1 Peter, you know the passage because it's well known. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that's what we are today. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. See, a royal priesthood. What that means. Now, remember the very simple statement. When you are a prophet, you speak to people on behalf of God. When you are a priest, you speak to God on behalf of the people. Now, I don't have to intercede for you. I can intercede by myself. That's what I gained today. I can intercede by myself. They now are priests and of God and God, and they are blessed by God. According to verse 6, he said, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. They are blessed by God, and they are with God, and all the period of Christ, from the cross to his coming, this is the expression, 1,000 years. All this period, the Christ is reigning, as he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, it's a spiritual kingdom. All this period of time, until he's come, we are reigning with Christ. We are not inferior to anything. We are reigning with Christ, and we are blessed. You remember Ephesians 1:3 and 4? In case that you don't remember, let me make a quotation for you and read it. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. When you say, God has given me a nice house, a nice horse, or this, that's a nice gift from God. But a blessing is your spiritual life being opened. And heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In other words, God has designed a pattern of life. We should be holy again and again and again. So the limitations of Satan is that he cannot stop the kingdom of God to grow. The kingdom of God will grow. Now, his opportunity, verse 7 to 10. All right? Satan's restriction will be lifted up. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison. Now, I believe that will be a tough time. Satan's restriction will be lifted up. Satan will again, what he was limited to? He was limited to deceive. Remember, he deceived the nations. He can no longer deceive the nation. We can preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit can reach them. But now Satan is going to be loose. And I thought for a moment, wow, this is going to be tough. No sooner is Satan loose, that he fall back to his old work. You think he learned a lesson, but he did not. Look at verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather themselves together to battle, the number of whom is at the hand of the sea, at the sand of the sea. In other words, he is going to prepare a final crucial moment in his life. He said, we have to finish with God. So if you think that we have seen unbelief in the world, you have no seen the real unbelief that will come in. And my hope is that when this happens, I'm out of here. This is my hope. That at this moment, I think that this is the juncture. And many times we talked to Raquel, and I was trying to explain the president of Fire Radio. If the Holy Spirit is no longer going to restrain anybody, that means it's not going to be here. So I don't want to be here, brother, and you don't want to be here. And nobody wanted to be. It was a Christian right here on this earth. This is what I believe is the juncture on the book that said, and now Satan is going to be loose, but my people are my people, and we are out of here. All right? Look here. No sooner is Satan let loose that he fall into his old world, he deceived the nations, according to verse 8, and he shall go out and deceive the nations. He cannot do it along with the church is here. And along with the Holy Spirit is here, he will not do it. But when the church is removed and the Holy Spirit is removed, he can do that again. He stir up them against God's people, according to verse 8, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Gather them together to a battle. He's no longer saying, no, this is an unbelief. He is really violent. And finally, point 3, he thinks to destroy God's people forever. He said, the number of whom is at the sun of the sea. In other words, he said, I got it. He's so blind himself, Satan, that he said, I got it. Now, he thought he had God's people in his hand, but will fail. Look at verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. You see what happened? God's going to intervene. God's going to intervene. And Satan, by the way, we have no idea how he had no idea what God can do. Well, he can read the Old Testament and know that God brought, remember Elijah? God brought fire from heaven and finished with 400 people. What is the whole wall against God? Nothing. Fire come from heaven, you're gone. But see, he trying to do this tremendous battle against God's people, and God's going to finish with him. Verse 9 tells me that he never can touch God's people. And then verse 10 tells me that he's sealed in doom. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I don't want to see the battle. Some people will see it after the church is removed. Some people will come to know God. And it's going to be a tough time. But God's Holy Spirit, remember 2 Thessalonians 2, God's Holy Spirit is going to lift up. And when the Holy Spirit is lift up, then I move. Satan think, I got it. I'm going to really make it. And so he get the whole world now without the restriction of the Holy Spirit. We will not have President Bush saying marriages between a man and a woman. They will go crazy thinking now this is our world. Everything agrees with us. And they're going to be destroyed and sealed down. Now the next section, verse 11 to 15, is a description of the detail of the victory of God. The detail of the judgment, we do it, God's willing, the coming Sunday. The detail of the eternal judgment, how God's going to, after God comes into the battle, verse 10, after God really move on and secure them in God's hand, here's how God's going to finish with every unbeliever and with Satan himself. I think that give me peace of mind. And that give me a focus on the ministry. As long as I have breath, I should not change my message. I will not tell you we need to be afraid. Because when Satan, and some people say, we are in the tribulation. You have no idea what the tribulation is. Oh, we had tribulation. Yes, indeed. This is not the same America that when I came in 1965. In 1965, pornography was coming in the submarine, we have officers looking. They have a drawing that we had to draw where the bomb's going to be put on. And under the drawing, they have Playboy. Remember, the Playboy magazine was coming into the picture. That was the worst thing you can have. A Playboy magazine was the most terrible thing that was in America. Today, that's pancake with the internet and all the things that they are in. We have not seen anything yet. But don't panic. When he get out, we also get out. And then, how long that period will be, I have some, the Bible mentions 7 years here and 7 years there. I hope it's, remember Matthew said, and for the sake of the believers will be less. But even then, Satan cannot stop God to save people. Remember Revelation 7 when I thought there will be a great multitude out of the tribulation being saved. and then the end. And Satan himself will put the hook in his neck, because he is going to head on against God. Imagine, against God. Satan is going to be so blind that he's head on against God. God come down, fire from heaven. Jesus don't have to do anything. Fire come from heaven, and now Christ established forever his great kingdom on this marvelous way described in chapter 21, the power of God. And be careful, because in chapter 21, verse 27 said, nothing unclean will come into that kingdom. When I read that, I said, wow, I better know that I'm saved, because nothing unclean will come into the kingdom, glorious kingdom of God. Well, may God give us hope and give us soberness to measure our life where we stand with God. Thank you, Father, that your word is unchangeable. Thank you, Father, that your word is beautiful. Thank you, Father, that your word guarantees to us that the Son is in control, and inform us that this Satan is going to do things we ever imagine. But God, how beautiful you are under control. Oh, bless us tonight. Bless us tonight with the assurance that if we love Jesus with the passion of our heart, our mind will be protected and our walk of life will be straight. Thank you, Father. Give us a great week this week. Help us to be in touch with you privately in prayer, privately in our devotionals, and help us to know evil so that we can walk right. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.